Chapter 19. The Practices of Wicca. Part 2. For a quick recap, because that is what we do as a teaching tool, we've seen that the definition of Wicca is witchcraft, which spread all over the world from its origin in the occult practices spawned at the Tower of Babel, a couple hundred years after Noah's worldwide flood. We have mentioned that the only protection from witchcraft is calling on the name of Jesus and relying on him. We talked about the history of Wicca that came out of the European witchcraft. That wasn't the only place. America got witchcraft, but it's the culture that contributed the most. We also looked at the beliefs and symbols of Wicca witchcraft, as well as what we started in the last chapter, their practices. Witchcraft practices cannot all be covered here, but so far, we've narrowed them down to the main ones like divination, which is contacting spirits or dead people, that turn out to be just lying demons. Witches have different techniques for divination that include scrying, rune casting, tarot cards, all of which are being popularized today. After that, we talked about the Wiccan calendar, or wheel of the year, that witches use to determine when to perform their ritual practices. Their calendar year begins on October 31st with Halloween, which witches call Samhain, pronounced Sawin or Sawen. Not so surprising, Catholicism merged with occult witchcraft practices from the pagan calendar by Catholicizing those pagan ritual dates to create Halloween, Easter, and Christmas. Catholic Halloween is all about divination being performed while, at the same time, the Wiccan witchcraft calendar shows their belief that the veil is supposedly thinnest between the living and dead spirits, demons, at that time. So, the spirits are supposedly more able to traverse between the two realities, making communication with humans easier. That is what it's all about for witches, pagans, and Catholics. On Samhain, witches and other occultists communicate with the dead, so Catholicism came along to claim the same date and just rename their Catholic term, Halloween. Similar to witch practices at Samhain, Catholic Halloween, on the same date, they set up the practice of having Catholics pray to the dead as part of their already established worship of the saints. Supposedly in an effort to help dead loved ones get less time in purgatory. Catholicism successfully merged witchcraft practices into their religion to make Samhain into Halloween, with the result that our society has to deal with that pagan ritual day being popularized. It is all from Catholicism wanting to encourage people to practice divination, praying to dead saints, which God specifically forbids, as we saw with King Saul and every one of his sons dying for it. The witch's Samhain was Catholicized in many ways, like Halloween costumes, the trick-or-treat aspect, jack-o'-lanterns, bobbing for apples, and many different acts of divination. It all worked together because Catholicism is just as into divination as the pagan witches. When Catholics are told to pray to a dead person for favor or whatever else, that is flat-out divination and the exact same practice as witchcraft's divination. Catholicism has just gotten away with it for a long time because no Christians want to talk about it. Now, I want to continue with the practices of Wicca witchcraft. However, and once again, before we get to more practices, let's see another of the numerous Bible passages that tell us witchcraft, whether ancient, Wiccan, or even Catholicized through paganism, is not something we should ever get involved with. This time we'll look at Micah 5, which is about the coming millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. During that time, He will rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years. And of all the sins and evil behavior the Bible could mention here, what do you suppose he specifically calls out as something that will be eliminated when he sets up his kingdom? It rhymes with witchcraft. Let's take a look at another of the many, many passages from the Bible that tell us not to mess with the occult because God condemns that behavior. Here in Micah, it is speaking about the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes back at his second coming, in the last days, to set up his kingdom. This is after the rapture of the church and will be the most horrible time ever to be visited upon the earth, the time of the 7-year tribulation.
Micah 5:10-15. In that day, declares the Lord, I will destroy your horses from among you and demolish your chariots. I will destroy the cities of your land and tear down all your strongholds.
The Lord is saying he will destroy all the things these people think are going to give them victory, including those man-made structures that have helped cause them to grow arrogant and rebellious against God. Here he lets them know they are not going to be practicing any more occult evils like witchcraft.
I will destroy your witchcraft and you will no longer cast spells. I will destroy your carved images.
Those witches will have no more carved figurines they can worship. Is there also a huge religion on this planet that will also lose the carved figurines, idols, they worship? Yes, it rhymes with Catholicism, and we will see a lot more of that thread in this chapter. Here the Lord continues condemning the witchcraft tools, like amulet stones, that they use to gain secret power, supercharge their good luck and all the other baloney.
I will destroy your carved images and your sacred stones from among you, you will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. I will uproot from among you your Asherah poles when I demolish your cities.
In this chapter, we will see more of that female deity worship talked about in the Old Testament.
I will take vengeance in anger and wrath upon the nations that have not obeyed me.
My Krohn translation for that is this: Jesus will come back and clean house on this whole planet, including those left over from Israel. His wrath will be poured out and the planet's slate will be wiped clean because his reign is about his kingdom of righteousness. Jesus is going to be the ruler of the earth, so the government will be on his shoulders, as Isaiah talks about. Do you think he is going to allow unrighteousness to flourish like we see today? No, that is why it's called his millennial kingdom, as well as a Christian's great hope and comfort. We look forward to it, for it will be a time of peace with nature and Jesus getting rid of all unrighteous baloney-like rebelliousness and wickedness, including the occult and all the satanic practices of today that will be gone. He is not going to allow that stuff, and we Christians get to be part of his kingdom. But of all things for him to call out, he is clearly saying he will not allow witchcraft, sorcery, spells, or any other occult behavior. Those practices are not just condemned by God, but Jesus won't be allowing them to exist when he takes charge, literally and physically ruling and reigning this entire planet from Jerusalem. Now, we have seen 19 different warnings from God and still haven't exhausted all the passages throughout the Old and New Testaments where God deals with the occult and its witchcraft. Despite those messages from God being all over the Bible, churches will not touch the issue with a 10-foot pole. For us Christians, that is actually a sign we're near the time of fulfillment of our great hope, which is the millennial kingdom with Jesus ruling, a time with no more of this evil and wickedness like witches praying against our people and government. The scripture tells us it is a time when Satan himself will be bound for the entire 1,000 years. That is awesome and surely something to look forward to. But it means we are in that time prior, when churches turn a blind eye to the rise of witchcraft. They will not preach God's word about Bible prophecy, God's wrath, sin, hell, and judgment. That includes a lack of warning about the occult. And while ignoring Bible prophecy, they leave out any teachings on Christ's millennial kingdom. Yet, we wonder why people look so hopeless these days. Christians have the brightest future on the planet, but our teachers won't engage with anything involving this dark realm of the occult and witchcraft. Because of that, those who stumble into witchcraft do not have much hope of being rescued by those in the church. Here is something about that.
Male news anchor.
CBN News has reported witches have been increasing their political involvement since the president was first elected back in 2016. Now, this comes as witchcraft is on the rise in America. Investigative journalist Billy Halliwell delves into the strange phenomena of supernatural activity. He tells CBN News The Prayer Link that it's a subject the church cannot ignore and must be equipped to handle.
Journalist interviewing Billy Halliwell.
Why do you think the world and the church sometimes tends to avoid or even ignore the topic of demons and spiritual warfare?
Billy Halliwell.
Yeah, I can't think of a topic that is spoken about more in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, and talked about less in churches. Now, I don't want to say that's every church, because lots of churches do a wonderful job dealing with this and talking about it. But I think we know overall that this is a topic that is avoided. And we did a survey for our book Playing with Fire, where we went out and talked to church leaders. These were volunteers and pastors. And we asked them, "Do you believe that demons exist?" Of course, the vast majority said yes. "Do you believe that demons are impacting culture?" The vast majority said absolutely. And then we asked the question, "Are pastors and churches talking enough about this?" 78% said no. And so, it was a really fascinating moment to, again, look at this issue and say we are not speaking about it. And I know there are lots of stories I encountered in writing Playing with Fire of people who have gone for help. They've gone to their church and they've said, "I have something going on. I can't explain it." And they are not given any assistance or help. And so that is a troubling piece of the puzzle. I feel like every pastor should be equipped to deal with this so that people aren't dancing around, going to other denominations and going to other places, because, realistically, outside of the charismatic world, the only place people really know where to go would be the Catholic Church.
Wow, and that won't help people. When we really think about what he just said, It's very sad because the Protestant Evangelical Church won't touch this witchcraft occult problem even though it is really happening. Unfortunately, their family and friends encounter the demonic realm either knowingly or unknowingly, getting involved with the occult on a daily basis. It needs to be dealt with. But if their options are to either go to the Charismatics or Catholics, they and the entire society are in real trouble. As we saw in our Charismatic Chaos study, the Charismatics have merged with witchcraft, so going to them will not help. And a Catholic priest may result in one of those scenes from The Exorcist. And we saw, the Catholic Church merged with witchcraft long before the Charismatics. The disservice we Protestants are doing for society is extremely hard to understand since the Bible warns us that this ignorance of the issue would be present in our day. Folks need help and the Protestants are turning them away to be gathered up by those who have merged with the same witchcraft that is causing the problem. So, what we as a ministry are going to do about it, is what the Bible, over and over, tells us to do. We are to study the entire Bible whether we like some of it or not. And dark occult practices are high on God's list of those subjects we need to deal with. We are going to keep looking at the practices of Wicca witchcraft, and this chapter will deal with their rituals. We already talked about Wiccan spells, potions, divination, and their calendar of ritual times of the year. Those ritual dates are when they get together as a group or even perform them solitarily, and their goal with a ritual is to what a witch wants in life. It is about themselves and attaining what he or she desires from a spirit, demon. Here is a look at what witches say they do when they get together for these rituals.
Wiccan rituals can take many different forms, with no two events being exactly alike. Some may be highly structured and elaborate. This is often the case with coven rituals.
They admit the public isn't told about a lot of their coven rituals because they are secret. Now, why do you think they would keep their rituals secret until a person is initiated into the group? It's because some of those dirty deeds are not just the killing of animals, they also include the murder of adults and children. Among their secrets are those sorts of blood sacrifices. We have seen that with plenty of witchcraft practitioners all over the world and throughout history. That idea should not come as a shock to us now, because we know it is still going on around the planet today. Some areas have had enough of it that at least they are talking about it. Here in the United States, where we have the same thing happening in secret, we won't deal with it at all. We're not going to know everything they do in their rituals, but we can look at some generalities with what goes on.
Other rituals, particularly those practiced by solitary and eclectic Wiccans, may be fairly simple by comparison and may even be made up on the spot, because it's based on relativism. The content of any given Wiccan ritual will depend on the occasion. For example, Esbits, or full moon celebrations, are focused solely on the goddess, while Shabbats honor the co-creative relationship between the goddess and the god.
Some of the tools they use during their rituals are candles, herbs, holy oils, and holy water. Another term used with rituals involves the law of attraction. Most people don't know what that term means and especially where it came from because they've never learned about witchcraft and the rest of the occult. The law of attraction is a ritual the occult and Wicca witchcraft use to try getting what they want or hexing and cursing those who do something they don't like. Again, their sketchy actions versus their pledge of no harm through the Wiccan rite point to exposing the bankruptcy of their so-called ethics. It shines a demonic light on their hypocrisy. And when they do not get everything they want through the attempts at the law of attraction, they may blame someone for that shortfall and that person becomes their next target they'll attempt to harm. And folks, the law of attraction is all over the internet, as well as even in the church now, brought to you through the word of faith false preachers, who are part of the Charismatics. Again, the law of attraction is a Wiccan ritual being promoted through the Word of Faith movement. I don't want to retell a year of our Charismatic Chaos study here, but in that we showed how their practices in the church are merging with witchcraft and the rest of the occult. This false teaching says people can perform the law of attraction ritual to get what they want. Just do what the Word of Faith preachers prescribe, like give money to those false preachers through the offering, buy their books or trinkets, usually along with performing some technique they prescribe, like repeating a Christianized Hindu-type mantra. For this, the false preachers promise those donors will get material desires they have, like stacks of money that will buy them fancy cars and beautiful homes. Folks, that is flat-out occult stuff that witches do. It is an actual witch ritual. In fact, the Word of Faith preachers even call it the law of attraction as if that is some Christian way to live. It's nuts. But people do not catch the scam, because few in society teach the dangers of the occult and almost none in the church will ever teach on occult witchcraft. And these Word of Faith guys in the church aren't even hiding their occult terms. Now, let's talk about more witch rituals but, Again, it's sometimes hard to codify for all witches since their overall philosophy is to pick and choose whatever occult aspects they'd like in their eclectic and relativistic practice. That said, I will give you the general process followed in witch rituals, the steps witches go through to try getting what they want. The first thing they will typically perform is what's called a purification ritual. With this ritual, they purify the people who are there, the celebrants, and the place where it's being done. Sometimes they will perform a ritual bath or smudging ceremony. During the latter, they burn herbs, such as sage, rosemary, and lavender. The whole idea is for those burning herbs to supposedly cleanse a person or people in the space where they are doing the ritual. Who else is really into their incense at services? Does Roman Catholicism do that because the Bible tells us to swing a pot of incense when we pray? Is that the way to really connect with God? No. That would be teaching from a book of blasphemy or whatever you want to call it. Hey, do you think it is by chance that they perform that pagan witchcraft ritual? Why are they so hung up on that? Well, it seems to fit the same old pattern from them that we are going to see in a huge way with this chapter. Besides coming up with Halloween as they have merged with the witch's Samhain ritual, a lot of Catholic practices are pagan rituals. Another parallel is the Wiccan and Catholic altars. After purification, the Wiccan celebrants will build and equip an altar which has the mother goddess and the male horned god. Of course, they have their important candles and certain other accoutrements. Typically, they will have somewhat hidden altars out in nature at places that are more forested or deserted. Often the forest rangers, police, and hikers will find these places, and those first two have had some training about it, but hikers do not usually know what they are looking at as a ritual area. It may just look like someone had a campfire with leftover bones in it. Those folks stumbling upon something like that might want to be careful that the witches do not come back to the altar while they are still there. Wiccans also often set up altars in their homes, showing their figurines that also depict a female goddess and the male horned god. They decorate it depending on the ritual dates on the Wiccan calendar. For example, with the autumn equinox they will bring out fall colors, while Samhain, Halloween, might have different even darker shades. But no matter the ritual time of year, they always include their tools and symbols on the altar. Hey, who else has their followers build altars in their homes and out in public? Altars that include candles and figurine idols for worshipping a female deity? Catholicism does, but I'm sure that's just another coincidence, right? Why are Catholics told to do that? Why would Catholic leadership tell their people to build an altar that is equipped with a figurine that is supposedly the biblical Mary, turning her into a female goddess that is literally worshipped and sought after for guidance and supplication? It's interesting how that matches exactly with ritual practices witches perform. And we have a long way to go as we list these similarities. Another practice of the witches during their rituals is what they call casting a circle. By this point, they've already found the spot for their ritual in a home or nature. They've supposedly cleansed and purified the place and celebrants, they've built the altar, and now they must cast, draw, the circle, which is supposed to represent the two different worlds of our reality and the supernatural. Witches will put the altar in the middle of the circle, so they are taught to be sure their circle is made big enough for that.
The circle may be marked with sea salt, a long cord, several stones, herbs, and candles.
Now, because these rituals are all about getting what the witch wants, the next step is to start the invocation where he or she will attempt to contact a spirit, which is really a demon, that is supposedly a dead person. This is how he or she hopes to gain or acquire what they are looking for.
Once the circle is cast, the invocations begin. The order here can vary, but typically the god and goddess are invited to join the ritual, and then the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, are invoked, as these are the raw materials that make up all of existence. In many traditions, a fifth element, akasha or spirit, or ether, is also called in. In other traditions, this step is known as calling the quarters, and the four directions, north, east, south, and west, are addressed, either instead of or in addition to the elements.
They may end up connecting with a spirit, but it will not be the spirit of God. After all the setup of the ritual, the heart of it begins with a witch stating his or her intent. This is a statement about why they are performing this ritual. The intent could be just to celebrate a witchcraft Esbat or Sabbat. Using their word, it can also be about petitioning, praying to, the gods and goddesses, demon spirits, to aid the witch to gain favor, protection, luck, healing, or anything else they want. Hey, does any other organization teach their followers to pray to entities for things like favor, healing, and protection? As we saw in our study, Roman Catholicism and the Last Days Deception, Catholics are even taught to bury little figurine idols of a certain saint that is supposed to help them sell their homes faster. I wish I was, but I'm not making that up. Folks, when Catholics pray to dead people, like dead saints and Mary, what is that practice called? It is divination, and God says it's an abomination. Completely contrary to the Word of God, just like witches, Catholics are taught to pray to dead people's spirits, demons, to supposedly help them get what they want. But Scripture tells us not to. And besides, that practice is only going to connect them with lying demons instead of approaching God for whatever they want. And the Creator knows what is good for us to have. But divination is an abomination to Him, while Catholicism teaches it daily as a Catholic practice. Now, let's get back to the witchcraft ritual.
Prayers might be offered, whether they are personal or on behalf of others. In fact, it is common in some traditions to use ritual space intended for the benefit of an entire community, or even all of humanity.
Also, at this time, witches typically do their spell work, cast spells. Again, those spells are more ways to try whipping up what they intend to acquire or make happen, like attempts to inflict harm on someone that did something they didn't like. It is the evil intention of, I'm going to get you. From that point we move on to what they call the main body of the ritual. A witch has already prayed to the deities, demons, or made his or her requests to the spirits, demons. Here is what the main ritual involves.
After the intent is stated, the main body of the ritual may consist of various activities. The focal point may be the performance of a ritual drama, such as reenacting scenes from ancient myths or poems, or other liturgical material, depending on the tradition of Wicca the group is following. Solitary Wiccans might also read from ancient mystical texts or compose their own poetry for the occasion. Chanting, singing, dancing, and/or other ritual gestures may be part of the proceedings.
They are adding all those aspects as a way to sort of make sure the deal gets done. Another prominent part of the ritual that they do at this time, as well as even earlier during cleansing and even all throughout, is the use of bells. Witchcraft is very into bells, which are a tool that can be bought, like all the other occult tools and materials, on the internet. They are big believers in bells, and Wiccan bells show their pentagram slapped right on them.
A ritual bell is used in opening and closing your ceremony or ritual, clearing energies and bringing focus. Use your bell to clear energy before, during and after a spell or ritual. Also, your bell can be used in rituals for magic and healing as you call upon gods, goddesses, deities, as well as elemental powers and energies.
Do we know any religious organization that has an affinity for bells? Catholicism does. Is that because Scripture tells us to ring some bells when we need something from God? Do we need bells when communicating with God because the Bible tells us that is His method or He's deaf? Yes, and I think the passage explaining that is either in Scripture's Book of Hezekiah 3, or 2 Opinion 2. So, take a look at those if you'd like. Of course, I'm messing with you because there are no such books. But how many of us new believers fell for one of those? Maybe that is just a new seminary student thing and it was only me. But anyway, of all the tools Catholicism could add to their rituals, besides the many other pagan practices we have seen, they are very into bells. Anyone else seeing a pattern? In our study on Catholicism, we saw that the Pope's and priest's hat is an almost perfect replica of the Babylonian Dagon fish god's headgear. So, where did Catholicism come up with their fish mouth-looking hat? And then it seems like most of their other ritual practices have nothing to do with the Bible. We Christians see these Catholic practices and wonder what is up with them swinging pots of incense, ringing bells, or praying to saints and a female deity, as well as building altars to them in Catholic homes. That is blasphemous. We are not to pray to dead people, period. We pray to God. Why did Roman Catholicism merge with the pagan calendar ritual of Samhain and even add in the false teaching of prayers to dead people, the same practice of witches that is called divination, and which God calls an abomination? It goes right along with Catholicism's prayers on behalf of dead people, who are supposedly in purgatory. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Everything they do seems to be Catholicized paganistic witchcraft. I wonder why. Maybe it's because their foundational beliefs and practices come from the pagan religion. Let me give you one more example with another practice by both Wiccans and Catholics. Some of those cakes the Wiccans make are circular with a solar cross or shaped like a crescent moon.
In many traditions, a ceremony known as cakes and ale or cakes and wine is an important part of Wiccan rituals. Food and drink are offered and symbolically shared with the god and goddess, typically at the end of the body of the ritual, although some traditions begin with it.
After all the rest that we have seen from witches that parallels Catholic practices, witches top it off with treats and alcohol for their demons as a way to say thanks and maybe help seal the deal. Unsurprisingly, Catholicism has their followers act similarly in one more example of this pattern. Every time there is something like that supposed Mary-looking stain on a concrete wall or a demonically animated apparition that gives lying messages, Catholics claim those are communications from Mary, so they put offerings in front of it. It's no different than people going to a Chinese restaurant, rubbing Buddha's belly, and putting money in the cup in front of it. Those are offerings and the act of honoring Buddha, which is a practice and a religion from the East where they're still doing witchcraft to this day. And Catholics are taught to do the same. They offer candles, flowers, and money, as well as trying to touch the supposed Mary stain to hopefully gain some sort of favor in life. How is that any different than the aspects we have seen with Wiccan rituals? It is the same mentality of giving food and offering to a so-called goddess that is going to supposedly give divine favor in return. Now, if you still think the similarity that I'm pointing out is not valid, let me give you a couple of examples. Still to this day, when a supposed apparition of Mary shows up, here is what Catholics do.
Reporter.
Some people believe this is just a carving in a tree. Others believe that it's a miracle. It's a small carving in a tree, measuring about 6 inches in length, but now hundreds of people are coming by just to take a glimpse of the carving, a carving they believe is of the Virgin Mary.
Reporter interviews a local.
Why do you believe?
Interpreter for Elba, who is being interviewed by the reporter.
She says that she feels it in her heart. She feels it inside, that it is the Virgin of Guadalupe, Mary.
Reporter.
Elba was the first to spot the carving Tuesday afternoon on her way to the store here on busy Bergenline Avenue in West New York, New Jersey. By nightfall, word began to spread, and the faithful began to gather, so much so that police had to put up barricades and station several officers here. The site has become a sort of tourist attraction with pictures of the carving now being sold here.
Reporter asks a young man named Gianni about his experience.
The spiritual energy in that one carving of her, it's amazing.
Reporter.
Johnny and his mother Lillian are among the many also praying here. People here believe this carving resembles the Roman Catholic icon known as Our Lady of Guadalupe. Many in the crowd tell Fox 5 that they believe the carving also holds mystical powers.
Another woman tells the reporter about her experience.
Right now I'm having a lot of sensational feelings and a lot of energies flowing through my body, and when I touched her, it's like my fingers felt numb.
Switching to a second news report.
Believers are flocking to this Baton Rouge neighborhood to see a statue of Mother Mary with their own eyes.
One man who came to see the Mary statue.
The faith of all the people who are coming here is at stake.
Porter.
You see, everyone here believes the statue is bleeding. Hai Nguyen is the owner. His daughter translated for us and says he was doing lawn work when the unexpected happened.
Hai's daughter.
He looked up and he saw blood flowing down.
Reporter.
Blood was dripping from the side of Mary's face, and the word spread quickly.
Hai's daughter.
He don't know how to explain it. He says he just knew that maybe the gods send a message through Mary.
Reporter.
One faithful says he has seen these manifestations before.
Switching to a third news report.
A possible miracle right in their living room. A family in northern Israel bought a statue of the Virgin Mary last year. Now, they say the statue appears to be crying. Osama Khoury, his wife, and children are Greek Orthodox. Some Muslim neighbors have seen the tears, as well. It started when Amir Khoury recently noticed the statue was seemingly covered with oil. She says it even spoke to her, telling her not to be afraid. Word of this has quickly spread. Some 2,000 people of all faiths have come to see the statue in just the last week.
That is just nuts, and it is only the foul tip of that demonic iceberg. Folks, let's be honest. If a statue were to speak with us, how many of us would run out of the room, screaming like a little girl? Most all of us would, except for the Catholics and Wiccans. If you'd have seen the video of all that, you too would notice they put the Mary statue into a glass case, and it has to be hot with all those people coming through. So, it's likely just condensation, which is God's doing and not Mary's. By the way, When Mr. Wynn describes that red stuff flowing down Mary's face, one local guy commented that there is a tomato patch in the area where birds eat and fly around, relieving themselves on the neighborhood. This kind of supposed Mary incident still goes on today all over the Catholic world. And the frequency of these incidents is increasing. With each one, people are falling for it more and more every day. Here's my crone theory on that: the solution to those false teachings of Catholicism should not be all on the church's shoulders, but at least they could quit ignoring it. The church does not talk about the occult, including the false practices of Catholicism. When was the last time you heard Christians and churches warn about these false teachings of Catholicism, including actual Mary worship? We don't hear it from the Christian church, so, along with witchcraft, it's allowed to run rampant on a massive scale. And just like the promotion of witchcraft that we will cover in the next chapter, who does the media march out to answer Christian questions that come up day to day? It is not a Christian at all. Instead, they speed dial a Catholic priest, a non-Christian, to promote them as having the correct answers to Christian questions. And all this is going on while the average non-believer is out there looking for something to believe in and follow for their spiritual life. As they do so with no warnings against the occult and Catholicism, unfortunately, those are the arms people are often falling into these days. Let's take a look at some of these supposed Mary visions that are happening around the world.
Narrator. Around the world, reports of supernatural events are drawing millions to apparition sites where the Virgin Mary is said to be appearing. Thousands of visionaries from every conceivable background describe a beautiful young woman, glowing in radiant splendor. Teenage girl watching a Marian apparition, her hair is going up. Yeah, she's beautiful. She's real big. She's just standing there. Narrator. Millions flock to apparition sites hoping to encounter the Blessed Virgin Mary. Consider that 15 to 20 million Marian followers visit a single shrine in Guadalupe, Mexico, every single year. An estimated 30 million pilgrims have visited Medjugorje since the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary began in 1981. Besides the six visionaries who regularly receive messages from the Virgin, thousands of pilgrims claim to see signs and wonders, experience healing, and hear the voice of Mary at Medjugorje. Medjugorje children visionaries are shown reciting while staring at an actual apparition. Narrator. She appears as a living, breathing, three-dimensional lady enveloped in exquisite light. Seers, when describing her, admit that the Queen of Heaven transcends human description.
Of all the titles to give this apparition, it's interesting that Catholicism picked the Queen of Heaven. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but if you've seen some of these apparitions on video, you know this entity often appears wrapped in light. Does that help prove that it must be Mary? No. Let's look at
2 Corinthians 11:13. For such people are false apostles, fake brothers, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light.
We hear people claim miracles like, "Hey, you can't say what happened to me wasn't from God. When I was sitting in the bathroom finishing off my chili cheeseburger, this vision of an angel appeared in the mirror and I cried big old elephant tears. A great light came into the room, so it had to be from God." No, there is zero guarantee of that being the case just because you saw a bright light.
And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve.
You don't want to be there with those servant entities or servant people when they get what is coming to them from God. So, those lights around Mary certainly do not prove she is the biblical Mary, let alone the fact that the Bible says the enemy can appear as an angel of light. In fact, next we are going to talk about the proof that those Catholic apparitions are not Mary. The phrase they call that entity is the Queen of Heaven, which is the exact same false female deity worship that God rebuked Israel for. Roman Catholicism has Catholicized female deity worship to grab one more practice from witchcraft that also worships their female goddess entity that goes back to Ishtar in Babylon. Again, these occult witchcraft practices originated at the Tower of Babel with their female deity, Ishtar, who becomes Salene, the Greek goddess of the moon and Grecian witchcraft. Then along came the Romans with Diana, their goddess patroness of the moon, followed by Roman Catholicism also having their Queen of Heaven that they converted from the persona of the biblical Mary. Just like witchcraft, Catholics are taught to worship this supposed female deity. One of the false teachings that Catholicism calls the Immaculate Conception is their claim that the biblical Mary was sinless. But that phrase only means she gave birth to Jesus while still a virgin. It does not mean Mary was born to live a life without sin. That's a false teaching of Catholicism, among many, many others. Let's take a look at what God says.
Jeremiah 7:16-20. So do not pray for this people nor offer any plea or petition for them, do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem?
He is talking about people like we saw earlier who find a knot in a tree or stain on a concrete wall that they think looks like Mary.
The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes to offer to the Queen of Heaven.
What are we talking about here with these apparitions? Just like the Queen of Heaven entity God pointed out as evil, Catholicism is even admitting the entity they tell their people to worship is the Queen of Heaven. We are to have nothing to do with the Queen of Heaven because God rebukes that.
They pour out drink offerings to other gods to arouse my anger. But am I the one they are provoking? Declares the Lord. Are they not rather harming themselves, to their own shame? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field and on the crops of your land, and it will burn and not be quenched.
To put it mildly, God does not at all like this Queen of Heaven worship, so what is going on with Catholicism on that issue? Besides so many of the other concerning practices and beliefs they have which perfectly match the same from witchcraft, even the very term they use for the feminine deity they worship is the same name God warns about in the Bible. Where are the Christians, let alone the Catholics, pointing this passage in the Bible out? And then when we read the context about this entity, or demon, is this something anyone should be involved with? And, is it also to be avoided at all costs just because any worship of any idol is demonic? But when people do not heed that warning in the Bible and do communicate with entities where people hear or see the supernatural, it's a demonic familiar spirit and neither a dead nor live person. We know this Catholic apparition is not Mary from the Bible because of one simple fact: she's dead. She's really dead and has been so for a long time. Jesus' mother Mary was a Christian, which means she is in heaven right now. And in reading the Gospel of Luke, we know that Mary sinned because she even admitted that she needed a Savior, just like the rest of us.
And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
I'm sure Mary was a great godly woman, and what a fantastic ministry God chose her for, carrying and giving birth to Jesus Christ the Messiah, who is our Lord and Savior. That is fantastic. I'm not downplaying her, but she's not God and we don't worship her. She is dead. And what happens when Christians die? In 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are told this: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Mary went straight to be with Jesus in heaven, who is at the right hand of the Father. These apparition entities may claim to be Mary and even come shrouded in light, but it is not Mary because it can't be. The Bible is very clear that every Christian, upon death, goes directly to heaven. And everyone who dies without Christ goes straight to hell. Either way, no one is coming back from those places. None of these people who claim to be witches communicating with spirits or Catholics connecting with saints, Mary, or whoever, are getting in touch with an actual person or spirit of a person, whether dead or alive. I agree that people can have a supernatural experience where they hear or see something, but that is not the real person. The Bible is very clear about this. Here are a couple more passages on that where Jesus is speaking about the tormented rich man in Hades calling out to Abraham.
Luke 16:24-26. So the rich man called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.
Back before Jesus rose again from the grave, Sheol was a compartment in the earth where one half of it was Abraham's bosom, paradise, which is where the righteous people who died had been sent. The other half was and is still hell, the place of the unrighteous. The latter is still there, but after Jesus rose from the grave, the righteous side, Abraham's bosom, went up to be with Jesus in heaven at the right hand of the Father. After the resurrection, that is why we Christians today become immediately present with the Lord when we are finally absent from the body at death. But back before Jesus, when it was still the two separate compartments of Sheol, the place of the departed dead, the grave, or Hades in the Greek, there was no crossing back and forth between the two areas of Sheol. A person died and went to the hell part of it and they are stuck there, while the others went to paradise, which was an awesome place to be stuck. And now when Christians die, they go even further away to heaven where they are also not coming back from. If we want to get even more clear on this, we can read.
Job 7:9-10. Job 10:20-21. And Job 16:22. As a cloud vanishes and is gone, so one who goes down to the grave does not return. He will never come to his house again, his place will know him no more. Are not my few days almost over? Turn away from me so I can have a moment's joy before I go to the place of no return, to the land of gloom and utter darkness. Only a few years will pass before I take the path of no return.
Would you agree that God bluntly tells us our death will be immediately followed by either heaven or hell and we will not return? It's a common truth in the scriptures and there is only one occurrence that is outside of it because that is our Creator's prerogative. The Bible dictates certain eternal truths and spiritual matters. Many believe scripture tells us that God, the author and finisher of life, chose to allow God's prophet Samuel to come up from Sheol temporarily to rebuke Saul for resorting to witchcraft and announce Saul's judgment from God for that wicked act. Samuel let Saul know that judgment would be for him to die the next day, along with his sons. Every other biblical occurrence of a person dying in the Bible was one where they went to heaven or hell and has not returned. That tells us what is going on with these Catholic apparitions. Again, I do not doubt those people are seeing something that probably even looks like Mary or what they think Mary should look like. But what they are dealing with is a familiar demon spirit that God warned about long ago. We are never to get involved in divination, which is the attempt to speak to spirits of any kind, including all dead people like Mary and the Catholic saints. That practice is a demonic abomination against God, and the lying demons are going to dupe people anyway.
Deuteronomy 18:9-14. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination, trying to communicate with the dead, or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, because of these same detestable practices the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so.
Should we be involved with those practices our Creator finds detestable? Other than knowing that she was a Christian sister who is now with the Lord, should we give even an ounce of thought to a supposed image of dead Mary, even if we might think we can see her in the bark of a tree, a Mary statue that is bleeding tomato paste from side of its head, or an actual vision of something we think is Mary? The answer is no, and that includes whether or not she is surrounded by light. Mary is dead. A familiar spirit posing as her is a demonic deception. Besides, what is the motivation to this communication with demon familiar spirits? It is to have a supernatural experience and get something that you want, which is both the charismatic and Catholic mentality. Both will say they felt the spirit, demon, speak to them. They claim to hear a voice and get a tingling in the fingers. But I don't care if you tingled. If you are standing in a puddle of water at the time, you might want to check for a short in the electrical cords nearby. The Bible dictates how we live and believe, not your experience or feelings like the practices of Catholics and charismatics, who have merged with witchcraft. It is all that same mentality. They go against scripture to let their feelings and other experiences rule their lives. No, I was not there when anyone had a vision or felt the strong emotion that they did, but he or she better listen to God over any of that. Now, let me give you a bit more of these demon apparitions that are said to be, but certainly are not, Mary. This video transcript shows how they receive these visions of the supposed Mary by getting into an altered state of consciousness, after which the entity suddenly appears.
Catholic priest. Recent appearances of Mary have been reported in nearly every habitable nation. Are these events legitimate? Is God sending us a message? However you answer, one thing is certain, the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary draw millions to every corner of the globe. Shona tens of thousands of followers coming to see and worship the apparitions of the supposed Virgin Mary. Catholic narrator. Many followers believe the Blessed Mother is present. Catholic woman. Currently, she is appearing all over the world, hundreds of times. There are many visionaries. Nancy Fowler is one of the links, and the time is running out and Our Lady said that she is stopping in everywhere. Catholic man. I definitely believe something is going on. Catholic narrator. And for all those who believe, they may now have the proof they need to convince others. Two scientists from Columbia came to the farm yesterday to study Nancy Fowler and they say she is definitely seeing something when she goes into trances. Columbia scientist. It has a brain activity that looks and seems to be like a coma, but she is awake and fully responsive.
Even the secular experts attest to the fact that these people are getting visions during trances, an altered state of consciousness, or coma-like state. Who else does that? Those organizations are the New Age movement, Eastern religions, witchcraft, and most of the rest of the cults and occult. That is the classic way to communicate with the spirits, demons. But in that transcript, you see how their Queen of Heaven worship is ripe all around our planet? Besides witches, millions do the same witch practice while no one puts the two together because people aren't taught about witchcraft. I want to give you a few more examples of these apparitions that conclusively show they are not the biblical Mary. What we've already discussed should suffice, on top of the fact that the Bible is very clear about that, these can't be Mary because she's dead and in heaven. But what do demons do? They are liars and deceivers, just like Satan, who Jesus told us is the father of lies, John 8:44. Demons are followers of Satan, so they cannot help lying. They may start out with a truth, but their nature is such that they just cannot help themselves from lying. If people listen to a demon long enough, a lie is going to pop out. So, when these so-called visions of Mary entities talk to people, is it likely to be the truth? No, it is probably all lies because that is what demons do. Now, let's examine some of those apparitions and their messages as we simulate a little television game show. Here is the first one.
Catholic narrator. The following represents common messages from the apparition of Mary. Message from Our Lady of Medjugorje, Bosnia/Herzegovina Mary apparition. Dear children, today I invite you to ask yourself why I am with you this long. I am the mediatrix, mediator, between you and God.
Wrong answer. Oh, no, you are not. Jesus is. The Bible says this. Is Mary the mediatrix, mediator, between us and God? That entity is either not reading the Bible or it is a different version. Here is what the Bible says.
1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
It is not Mary. But that's not all. Here's another lying message.
Message from the Lady of All Nations, Netherlands Mary apparition. The world is degenerating, so much so that it was necessary for the Father and the Son to send me into the world among all the peoples in order to be their advocate and to save them.
That's strike two. One more whammy and you'll exit this game show early. Only Jesus is our advocate. What Bible are they reading? None at all.
1 John 2:1. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
It is not Mary. Mary and demons cannot help but lie. But that's still not all. Here is yet another lying message.
Message from Our Lady of Medjugorje, Bosnia/Herzegovina Mary apparition. If I call upon you to open yourselves completely to me, so that through each of you I may be enabled to convert and save the world.
What? Mary will convert and save the world? I'm sorry. But that's the wrong answer. No, you won't. Only Jesus can do that. Here's what the Bible says.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, did not give Mary, gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
They are called lying demons for a reason. But that's still not all. Here's yet another lying message.
Message from Our Lady of Akita, Japan Mary apparition. I alone am able still to save you from the calamities which approach. Those who place their confidence in me will be saved.
What? So, Mary will save us from the planetary calamities to come? That's four strikes. I don't know if you can get that many and still be on our game show. There is only one way to escape God's wrath to come during the seven-year tribulation when He brings judgment on our planet through calamities. It is through Jesus Christ.
1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
It is not Mary. Jesus is the one who rescues us from God's wrath. But that's still not all. Let's take a look at just one more.
Message from Our Lady of San Nicolas, Argentina, Mary Apparition. My daughter, in this time I am the ark for all your brethren. I am the ark of peace. I am the ark of salvation, the ark where my children must enter if they wish to live in the kingdom of God.
We started this chapter reading about the coming kingdom of Jesus, His millennial kingdom. But the Catholic apparition says the way we make it to that kingdom is through Mary. Sorry, wrong answer. No, Jesus is the only way to the kingdom of God. Excuse me? Jesus is the way to the kingdom.
John 14:06, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
It cannot be Mary. When we put all this evidence together, there is no way those Catholic apparitions could be the Mary from the Bible. But the reason people are falling for it is because Catholics have been encouraged to get involved with divination through praying to dead people like Mary and the saints. And what they are connecting with cannot be any of those dead people. From these apparitions, Catholics are looking to get, supplicating for, inspiration, protection, favor, and other gains for their lives. It is no different than witchcraft rituals used by witches to get things from spirit entities that are really demons, just like these apparitions. And it blows me away that they call it the exact same Queen of Heaven that the Bible warns about as being a false female deity demon that God rebuked sharply in the Old Testament. At that time, Israel had the audacity to do the exact same thing with the same entity, which is all the same witchcraft. As witchcraft practices flourish and Catholicism performs the same Catholicized pagan witchcraft, both are getting away with it because few, even in the Christian church, will even talk about it. People are being encouraged to continue down these deceptive routes like Catholicism's witchcraft practices while witchcraft overall continues to rise. And Christians refusing to talk about it is a huge aspect of the problem, even though witchcraft is warned about all through the Bible. Here's what one guy says about that.
News anchor. Thousands of witches gathered last week to cast a spell on President Trump, which they say was to prevent him from harming the country. Well, with Halloween coming up this week, should we take witches seriously? Author and radio host Dr. Michael Brown says that we should. He says the rapid rise of witchcraft in America is real and frightening.
Dr. Michael Brown. I see the same demonic powers that operated of old, operating again today. And to me there's a clear line between radical extreme feminism, between the Shout Your Abortion movement, between the seduction of America through internet porn, the rise of witchcraft and the fascination with sorcery. It is all of the same spirit, the same demonic forces operating. And last week, the New York Times had an article asking, when had everyone become a witch? It said we had reached peak witch. So, this is real. We don't focus on Satan, we focus on the Lord. But the Bible tells us we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And as I was doing research for Jezebel's War with America, I was stunned to learn that among millennials there are more witches than Presbyterians. We cannot ignore what's happening spiritually.
News anchor. That is crazy. Well, you found out, as you mentioned in your research, that witchcraft is on the rise while Christianity is on the decline. Those are sad statistics.
Dr. Brown. Yeah, even if you look at the fascination with sorcery, the most read books in America today, 6 or 7 out of the 10 most read books in America today, are Harry Potter books. There is a massive increase in tarot cards that people are talking about. And with witches, they have been gathering regularly to hex the patriarchy or to bind President Trump. But you are talking about people gathering together, appealing to other spiritual powers, and they are militantly against the Bible. They are militantly against Christian values. This is something that is really happening. And what you often see, we have the rise of what we call the nuns, the religious nuns, people with no religious affiliation. As people turn more and more away from God, it's not, as Chesterton said, that they believe nothing, but they believe everything. They begin to engage in all types of alternative spiritual realities and things that they're seeking after. So the window is wide open now for deception to come flooding in. You even have people professing to be Christian witches. The spiritual warfare is real. We need to be equipped. We need to take on the spirit of Jezebel. It's a real thing. And yet, what is the trend in the Christian church? We do not talk about it. Just tell the people that come to our services how to be financially successful and continue to build up their self-esteem. Because they need to really get more understanding about how life is all about them. And as pastors, if we don't cater our services to them, they might leave and take their money. That said, I've actually been very encouraged by this study of witchcraft that has really opened my eyes, especially when we went through the world history of witchcraft. It is amazing to see how long it has been infecting every single continent on the planet since Babylon rose after the flood of Noah's day. All that opened my eyes to the realization that we are doing the right thing by delving into these subjects much of the church won't touch. What we are doing is extremely needed. In studying Bible prophecy here in this age of apostasy in the church, that God prophesied would be coming in these last days, it's a hard pill to swallow that we are living that church apostasy live right now today. And I used to think our problem in the church was mostly from pastors not wanting to touch Bible prophecy. That is a huge issue, with a third of the Bible being deleted by the leaders of the church. But this study has helped me to understand that the issue is way beyond that. In fact, I think we can add other areas of the Bible that are not being preached today, even besides that third. Of the two-thirds remaining after stripping God's word of its prophecy, today preachers don't want to talk about subjects like hell, sin, and wrath. Along those lines, they also don't want to mention those subjects, spiritual warfare with its devil and demons that might scare people. So, witchcraft and other occult practices are out, as well as anything of that nature. So, they are basically left with the table of weights and measures. From that, the sermon of the day can then be about encouraging the church with important weights and measures that are really our sign from God that will help us be a financially successful Christian. Do you see how they can be led to whip out a dumb sermon like that because it's all they have left? Do you see what is happening? Folks, this study has opened my eyes to the fact that our situation in the church is worse than what I ever thought. I thought it was just one third of Bible being kicked to the curb. But what is really going on is them skipping 99% of God's word. That is how bad it is. And then in that church community, when a particular group does teach the whole Bible like we are supposed to, then we are the bad church and the bad pastor. We are one of those churches, those wackos. Don't we understand that people don't want to come to services to hear rebuke and correction from God? Oh, the days we live in, the church isn't getting it, beginning with those who pick the pastors and attend church services that aren't necessarily Christians. Maybe because many are not, they don't hunger for God's word anyway. Contrary to that mindset, when I got saved, I couldn't wait to get in the Bible. I was excited to find one and start reading it instantly. The Spirit of God drives a Christian to God's word. If you want to have nothing to do with Scripture, that's not a good sign. But as pastors, we need to preach all of God's word no matter what is going on in the church, even here in these days of apostasy. There is a great and growing need to reach people out there who are getting involved in this occult baloney, even through Catholicized versions of witchcraft practices. Some people just flat out rebel against God like Satan has, and go the way of witchcraft. And it is not working out well for them. They need to know there is a way out of that dark arts mess. As this girl learned, the only way out is through Jesus Christ.
Jessica Galbraith. I think it's very, very likely that there was some kind of demonic possession going on here. I almost felt like there was a cloud of darkness around me.
Narrator. For years, Jessica Galbraith was known worldwide as a fantasy artist. Her specialties were vampires, winged fairies, and haunting gothic goddesses.
I would try to give them a look like, you know, they were gazing at you with bad intent. They had power and secret knowledge, all is wrapped up with the occult.
It was a power that Jessica discovered when she was a child.
I think I always had a strong sense that there was a supernatural world. So, it kind of progressed from liking the pretty unicorns to buying a tarot deck and bringing it home and doing readings for my friends and getting a Ouija board. We would ask for someone to come talk to us, inviting anyone, whoever's out there to come talk to us. Things would happen all the time, unexplainable things, terrifying things.
She saw radios scream on, out of nowhere, as well as flying picture frames, broken glass, and complete power outages.
The spirits that you think might be ghosts are not. They are demons. You're inviting them in. So, the demons thought, let's mess with these girls. Let's terrify them.
Jessica stopped using Ouija boards in high school, but kept seeking the supernatural.
I was looking for knowledge and power and secrets that I thought maybe other people didn't know. I would say that people thought I was a witch.
More than anything, Jessica was curious about death. I would read any kind of book I could get my hands on in the New Age about near-death experiences or the paranormal. My greatest fear was that there was either nothing after death and you're just annihilated, or worse, that there was a hell and that I was going there. Jessica majored in art in college and began creating images that reflected her obsession with death. She married Josh and they had two kids.
I was very empty inside. Josh and I both were really financially driven, and we would set these goals for ourselves, and once we would reach them, we would be dissatisfied again.
As her artwork got darker, she began noticing that her daughter Julia was having abnormal fears. The images from Jessica's paintings were becoming real to Julia.
I was afraid of my parents or me dying. I used to have nightmares about this troll guy giving me poison and then driving me away in this brown Jeep.
Jessica and Josh took Julia to a therapist, but the fear and the nightmares continued. Not long after this, the couple sent their son Joe to a preschool that happened to be Christian. The father of one of Joe's classmates befriended Josh and began questioning the couple about their beliefs. Jessica's mother and stepfather were Christians, and Jessica had already decided that she didn't want anything to do with Jesus.
I felt that perhaps God was just a set of rules, a judgmental, scary, authoritarian figure. But I felt like he was removed, and we were just kind of off on our own here, and there was no Satan. It was just all our imagination. I was very prideful at this point, and I didn't need to be saved from anything. I had fallen for that deception that it was trying to hold women down, it was a male-dominated religion. And he was able to show me in the Bible how that's not the case at all.
As Jessica and Josh read the Bible, everything they had believed and not believed changed.
I read the Gospel of John first, and I remember looking at Josh saying, "Wow, I think this is it. This is the truth." And my heart softened, and I believed that Jesus was who he said he was. He was God, and the Bible is the Word of God. I just remember Dan looking at us and he just said point blank, "Well, have you guys accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" We both blurted out, "Yes." And we meant it. I remember Dan saying, "Well, then your eternity is settled. Isn't that something?"
When Jessica got home, she had to face the reality of the evil characters she'd created and introduced to others.
All these dark images, I'm watching them come out of the printer and I'm thinking about everything, and I just felt utter despair.
Jessica called her mom.
I said, "Mom, I just accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I don't know what to do. I don't feel like he can forgive me." She said, "For your art?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Because it's kind of satanic?" That just really hit me like, yes, it's the truth. Something told me, "Go open the shade." There wasn't a voice that I heard. It was just in my heart, and I crawled over with tears coming down my face, lifted the shade, and there was a huge rainbow just straight up over the field. I just felt like God walked right in that room with me and said, "I forgive you. It's okay." I haven't looked back since.
Jessica and Josh literally dumped all of the dark artwork they had in their house. Jessica removed herself from everything to do with the occult. The couple started going to church and studying the Bible.
It's like a veil lifts when you see it, and all the power or intrigue that you thought was with the occult is nothing compared to the light of God and his supernatural power. I want everyone to know that God forgives anything, and his grace is big enough for all of us. All you have to do is ask.
How did she find that out? Some Christian who knew the truth of God's word loved her enough to reach out and speak up. The man did not ignore their trouble. Instead, he told her and her husband the truth that set them free. And now she wants to tell others, just like the rest of us need to. I don't know what other churches are doing, but we need to teach what we've learned and learn more so we can teach more. We need to be discipled in all of God's word, whether it is him explaining heaven or hell, sin versus forgiveness, wrath and mercy, or the occult and Satan. Christians need all of Scripture. When we get equipped with the truth, God can use us to make a huge difference in the lives and eternal destinations of those acting like they have it all together. You may not even know what they're involved in, but they all need Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, looking at that account of Jessica's witchcraft experience before getting saved, what was she doing to draw people into the occult? She used art, and it's part of the reason we're finishing this study with a look at the promotion of Wicca witchcraft. What we will see in the last chapter of this study is how the promotion of Wicca witchcraft is on steroids and they are getting results to match because the vast majority of the church refuses to talk about it. Witches are out and proud all over the place, taking advantage of every communication recruiting angle available these days. They are gaining major ground. They use art like Jessica did, major culture impacting cartoons from Disney and others, video streaming channels, and all the latest social media like TikTok that was supposed to be banned in the US but it's still going. What's up with that? But witches are capitalizing on every marketing tool available to promote their successful proliferation of witchcraft. At the same time, the churches are playing games and remaining as quiet as a mouse.